Hello, beloved of God. Welcome to Faith Talk Ministries Radio Show. I'm your host, the lover of words. Tune in with us and we can have Faith Talk. Faith Talk is sharing the word of God or talking about what God has done for you. You can visit our website at www.faithtalkministries.com or you can email us at staff@faithtalkministries.com. Our mailing address is Faith Talk Ministries Incorporated, P.O. Box 831376, Stone Mountain, Georgia 30083. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Welcome, Faith Talk listeners. I'm your host, the lover of words. We are so glad that you are listening to our radio broadcast. Are you ready for some Faith Talk? In my opinion, there's not a better conversation that anyone can have. In recent broadcasts, we have discussed the power of a conversation and the environment in which the Word of God should be shared. We discovered that the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be planted in peace. Our subject for today is from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17, and reads on this wise, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." We are going to look at the sharpening of wits that took place between the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. In recent conversations, we examined how discourse between the Lord Jesus Christ and unbelievers took place. But today, we will see how conversations between believers take place. When two or more believers get together and discuss the Word of God to increase knowledge, understanding, or deliver a needed rebuke, they sharpen each other. Although, most of the time, it's more of a needed rebuke. A person can get more out of a conversation that is done with meekness and wisdom than they can get out of reading a book, listening to the radio, or watching a television program. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." Those of you who fellowship with us regularly know that we like to play a nice song before we get started. Today our song is "I Surrender All" by C.C. Winans. See, in order to live by faith in Christ Jesus, you have to surrender all of your past thoughts, laws, traditions, and idols. You have to leave everything behind that you have learned before the Holy Spirit led you to the knowledge of the truth. Listen. Hey man, that was a nice song. Welcome back to Faith Talk Ministries Radio Show. For those of you who are just tuning in, I am your host, The Love of Words. I would like to take a moment to invite you to visit our website at www.faithtalkministries.com. We have an enormous amount of information that will lead you to the truth and strengthen your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Our topic today is, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. The example that we will look into is the conversation that took place between the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. This conversation is from the scripture, Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. But before we get started, I would like to define the process of sharpening iron. I came upon this information of sharpening iron from The Sharpening of the Christian, written by Doug Hamilton. The process of sharpening the iron sword was carried out in a few steps. First was the pounding out of the sword with the iron hammer. They would flatten it around the edges like sheet metal. Next, they would use an iron file or an iron ore stone to create a razor sharp edge. Lastly, they would use another piece of iron to rub and lift that edge. This would have been done whenever the edge would become dull. You have heard the saying that he has lost his edge. That is referring to a knife that needs to be sharpened. Keep this in mind as we read the scripture from Galatians 2. "Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it make it no matter to me, God accepted no man's person. For they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was for it to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain Jews came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We, who are Jews by nature, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which are destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now that we have finished the reading of the scripture, I would like to, for you to focus on the part when Paul confronted Peter, which is verses 11 through 21. I read you the entire chapter so that you could see what led up to the process of the Apostle Peter being sharpened and everyone else who observed being sharpened as well. Let's look into this situation. Why was Paul so upset with Peter? Paul was upset with Peter because Peter was acting like what we would call two-faced. He was acting funny. Peter was acting brand new. He was acting like a hypocrite. Peter was an apostle, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. He planted churches and was considered a spiritual father. There were a lot of believers who were watching Peter. When Peter was with the Gentiles, he would eat with them and fellowship with them as fellow believers of the gospel. But for some reason, he feared that if he showed the liberty in Christ Jesus, that he would offend the Jews. He therefore separated himself from the Gentiles and caused other Jews to separate themselves as well. The scripture said in the reading that even Barnabas, who was a minister of the Gentiles, was carried away with their dissimulation. Peter had already been taught by the Lord Jesus Christ that there was no difference between Jew and Gentile in the sight of God. We all are accounted righteous and justified because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This righteousness had nothing to do with whether you were a Gentile or a Jew, but rather that you had received the gift of salvation and eternal life through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter knew this very well. Do you remember when God gave Peter the vision of cattle, birds, creeping things, and all kinds of beasts, and told Peter to kill and eat? He also told Peter, what God has cleansed, that call not thou common or unclean. That's in Acts chapter 10, verse 24. And after that, Jesus sent Peter to Cornelius, the centurion, who was a Gentile, and had Peter preach the gospel to him. While Peter was preaching, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word. Now, Cornelius had called all of his relatives and friends to hear the word. So it was many Gentiles whom God had poured his Holy Spirit upon. It was also other Jews who observed this and were amazed because God had poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit also on the Gentiles. Peter also said this out of his own mouth when he was explaining to the Jews, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? When the other Jews heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then have God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That's in Acts chapter 11, verse 17 and 18. If Peter knew that following the Ten Commandments, ceremonies, rituals, and traditions had nothing to do with salvation and being justified in the sight of God, what was he doing? Peter had lost his edge. He wasn't as sharp in the things of God as he has once been. Perhaps he was hanging around people who were plastic. Instead of communicating with iron, he was talking with people who were paper. Therefore, he needed to be sharpened by an iron file. The Apostle Paul was that file. Sometimes, those of us who have known the truth and have preached the truth because of people, circumstances, fear, etc., we forget what we have been taught and are dull. We need our minds sharpened so that we will have that edge to lead other people to Christ and to keep ourselves from being placed in bondage by false ministers and brethren. Notice, since the Apostle Peter is a pillar and had been with Jesus, new believers saw him separate himself from the Gentiles when the Jews were around and were confused as to what it took to be saved. They probably perceived that you have to follow the law of Moses and have faith in Jesus Christ to be saved. This is not the truth. The scriptures say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. This is the gospel. And if anyone tries to add or take away, then they are in error. There are some pastors and so-called believers out here who try and tell people that it takes more than just faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And they are placing people in bondage. Some are doing this on purpose, and some are doing this out of ignorance. But nevertheless, they're doing it. Beloved of God, this is the whole reason that the Apostle Paul confronted Peter. This is serious business. When you add other things to salvation and justification with God, other than Jesus Christ alone, you are frustrating the grace of God. Listen to what Paul says again. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Faith Talk, brothers and sisters, God Almighty came in the flesh of Jesus Christ to save the world from their sins. Salvation doesn't come by any other but by Jesus Christ. Don't let any pastor, friend, relative, mother, father, co-worker, somebody who might seem to have all these credentials, don't let anybody put you in bondage from which Christ has once freed you. It takes faith in Jesus Christ alone to be saved. When I was young, I used to sit out in the pews of my church, and I wanted to be saved very bad. But I kept looking at the Ten Commandments saying, man, I got to be perfect to be saved. And I sat in the pew for years, just, you know, afraid. And then Jesus Christ came to me through the scriptures, and he showed me that I ain't have to do it on my own. That the Ten Commandments was only my schoolmaster. The Ten Commandments was my teacher to lead me unto Christ. The Ten Commandments was a mirror to show me that I was imperfect and that I needed a Savior. See, we were meant to be dependent on God. We were never meant to be independent. Laws and rules and self-righteousness, all those things teach us to be independent of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when Jesus walked on this earth, he gave us an example of how we are to worship the Father. He told his disciples on many occasions that he didn't do anything of himself. Everything he did was the will of the Father. He showed us how to pray. He showed us how to go around and do good works. See, a lot of people think that when James said faith without works is dead, they thought that works were following the Ten Commandments. But the works that James is talking about in that verse is, see, once you're saved and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, God saves you for good works. A work at that point is, first of all, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who God sent to save us from our sins, and also doing whatever the Holy Spirit prompts you to do. I give you an example of a couple of works. When Abraham was asked by God to sacrifice Isaac, and out of faith in God and obedience, he went to sacrifice Isaac, that was considered a work. I give you another example of a work. When Rahab hid the spies, when the king's men came and asked her, where did the spies go? And she told them that they went another direction. That was considered a work. In both of those situations, you notice that if they were judged by men's standards, they would have broken a law. See, when Rahab hid the spies, she told a small lie because she knew where the spies were, but she said that they went another way. When Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, that would have been considered killing someone. Both of those would have directly went against the law. But see, there's a bigger law that we follow, and that is the law of God and the Spirit and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. See, Abraham didn't just believe that God existed. It's a lot of people that believe God exists. Devils even believe that God exists, and they fear and tremble. No, Abraham believed what God said. That's why he was considered righteous. See, we as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to believe what the Word of God says. If God says it, then it's true, no matter what nobody else says. No matter what clique you may run in, or no matter how many credentials a person may have, if God says something is the truth, it is the truth, and you can bank on it. The Lord Jesus Christ saved us for good works. We have many things that he may come to us in our heart and ask us to do. He may place us around other believers so that we can sharpen one another. He might have us supply a need for somebody that is in want. He might have you preach the gospel. Thank you for tuning in to Faith Talk Ministries radio show. I'm your host, The Love of Words. Our prayer is that everyone listening will come to the knowledge of the truth and develop a more personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is truly the way, the life, and the truth. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and no one will ever love you like he does. For God is love. Once again, friends, thank you for tuning in, and we look forward to having more Faith Talk. Visit us at www.faithtalkministries.com. God bless you.